Bad news travels fast, but good news sometimes is not even heard, at least not by as many people as it ought to be. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest today is a returning guest, Dr. Mark Belisles, who is a pastor in the Charlottesville area. Mark is the president of the America Transformation Company. He and I had the privilege of co-writing a book together about Thomas Jefferson called Doubting Thomas, The Religious Life and Legacy of Thomas Jefferson, published in 2014. Now, we're going to talk today about something that happened in Charlottesville. We all know about the bad news that came out of that small Virginia city August 12th. What most of us don't know about is the good news that came out of that same city on December 1st and 2nd. Mark, welcome back to the program, and it's so good to have you back on, and I want you to tell us all about healing for Charlottesville.
Thanks, Jerry. Glad to be back. One of the things that was shocking to me this last August, I do so much work in transformation leadership with leaders around the world. I was in South America when I saw on the front page of newspapers down there and on the television the city, pictures of my city in Little Charlottesville, Virginia. And it's amazing the kind of things that happen that we tend to, that become an icon or something. What's wrong? And I, of course, living in Charlottesville, I've been here since 1981, and a pastor, another African-American pastor friend of mine, we both came to Charlottesville in 1981, same time, and we've been friends, have done things together, even though we're very different. He's African-American Baptist pastor, a Democrat, who's been the former mayor and city councilor and board of supervisors of our city, and more from a liberal, kind of side of politics. I'm completely opposite in every way. But he and I are both believe that Jesus Christ can transcend the politics and the divisions of our country. And so we worked together to organize something in response called Healing for Charlottesville. And we just had a tremendous unity event in our city that doesn't fit the narrative of the modern politics, so I guess it doesn't quite spread as much, but using things coming together.
Yeah, and by the way, the way that's spelled out, Healing for Charlottesville, the four is the number four, and the website even for this event that already occurred is healingforcharlottesville.com. But I have to tell you, I follow the news a lot, as much as I can, even conservative news and so forth, and I hadn't heard boo about this event, but I thought it was very significant. And I understand you had Bishop Harry Jackson, whom I've had the privilege to interview a few times for D. James Kennedy Television Ministries and so forth. He was there as one of the speakers as well.
He was. Bishop Jackson was there leading, and he and I worked together for last few years on the Reconciled Church, trying to bring together leaders after violence in a lot of cities and try to prevent a lot of the divisions and bring healing. Plus, there was others there. Doug Stringer from Somebody Cares International, Houston. We had Herman Marier of Asian Prayer Network and others. I mean, there were just different people. Plus, we had a great story told by two men, Will Ford, who's an African American, and then there's Matt Lockett. And these two men both come from families in Virginia. They are descendants. One was the former owner. His family owned the family of the other, and back before the Civil War. And actually, the last battle of the Civil War ended on their family farm, where they both came from, where Robert E. Lee's last battle. And that's so interesting. They told the story of how God reconciled them without even knowing kind of a lot of that story originally. And as Christians together, they've been friends for 12 years. But in Charlottesville, they told a story which was tremendously healing to our community about how we can transcend things like even these statues about Robert E. Lee and other things, how we can, as Christians, can overcome that and show a different way.
Yeah. It's funny, too. I've been thinking about, let's say in modern day America, if you see a pickup truck and it's got a big Confederate flag on the back, or it's got a Southern, you know, a Confederate flag on it, what does that communicate today? It doesn't communicate states' rights. It doesn't communicate, you know, some sort of principled approach. Today, you can't help but feel like, okay, this is a symbol of racism. And you know, it had its historical place, but, you know, it's time to move on and do so in a way that brings healing to the nation.
True. Yeah. And truly, that is co-opted by people with racist views. And I think the problem, however, and just like in Charlottesville, the source of all this violence was those over, you know, Confederate statues that are here in our city that, even though there's people who don't understand our history, it becomes now a whole another sort of lightning rod. And I think, you know, we have to find ways to actually acknowledge history without it becoming co-opted by different forces, left or right, in our culture. We have to learn how to portray that. And, you know, that's one of the things that was a burden to me, because for 12 years, the chairman of the City of Charlottesville Racial Historic Resources Committee, which is responsible sort of to proclaim and tell our whole diverse story of our history. And we always had people that would want to come in and say, let's remove this or that. And we would just try to say, well, let's add to the story. Let's tell more of the story maybe that we didn't adequately tell. And I think that's the way forward. And so, anyway, you know, we're going to work on trying to restore respect in our city, restore a sense of conversation that leads to actual solutions to these kinds of things. And I think that's what Healing for Charlottesville was a beginning point. So I think we were very happy with what we did.
How many people attended about?
I mean, we had a couple hundred people were involved. An amazing thing in
and these were white and blacks?
Not that big of a... Yes, yeah. Amazing diversity, representing virtually every denomination, every part of the body of Christ in our city. We came together and a tremendous, you know, display of unity together. And then an exciting thing, just that we had a day for prayer. We had a prayer walk from over 10 different churches, walking from their churches to our downtown. And then we also had a solemn assembly where we prayed together and asked for healing in the city. But beyond that, we also made a commitment that of going forward, we have like 7 things we're going to be working on together that will help our community to not just heal from this event in August, but heal from other deeper divisions that are at the basis for a lot of times these kinds of things. So we're excited. We believe that it's a good model that hopefully spreads all over our country, is a different part of the story for the America going forward.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you the question. I know this is just a guesstimate that I'm going to ask you, but approximately what percentage would you think that participated in the August 12th rally, which ended, of course, in a tragic death and so forth, what percentage were from people who came from out of town? And then I want you to contrast that with what percentage of the people participating in the positive rally a week and a half ago, which December 1 and December 2, also in Charlottesville, were from out of town. So I just want you to compare apples and apples.
Good question. We had, like I said, about 200 people at our event a couple weeks ago. And of those, there were more people at our event than there were in August. In August, that were local. In August, there was maybe, you know, a little bit less than that. But out of 1,200 people, the protesters, then we're talking about less than 200 were local in August. And so that gives you an idea. There's about 900 out-of-towners that were leftist radical protesters, and there were 300 the white supremacists, virtually all but about 5 from out of town. That gives you an idea.
Oh, wow. And so, but now your event obviously was far less attended, though. I mean, just numerically, right? I mean, about 200, you say, maybe? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we had 200 versus the 1,300, perhaps, that were in August. But again, we had more locals in ours than they did in August.
Isn't that fascinating? And, you know, it's strange, too, because Charlottesville strikes me as a very nice, peaceful town. It's really a college town. And You know, it's not the kind of place where you'd expect the kind of the terrible violence. And I think President Trump did himself no favors in some of the reactions after the event. And so it was almost like grabbing a big scab in the American psyche, a big wound, and just ripping it off, you know, and then now it's been oozing and so forth. But here you guys are working towards healing. And you said that there's seven things you're hoping to do moving forward. You want to highlight those real fast in the time we have remaining?
Yeah, we talked about we're going to first off continue to bring leaders in the church together, diverse leaders, to keep talking together, develop trust and relationships, because that's been lacking. That's a lot of times lacking in communities across our nation. Number two, we're going to bring together, you know, the larger body of Christ for events like that, like what we just did, through the to be out, become more present in our community and as the church together. And then we're going to work on actual how to create forums for restoring respect. We're going to organize what we call respect teams, and that black and white Christians working together. We're going to go into neighborhoods. We're going to have what we call community table events, bring together people over meals in neighborhoods, and we're going to survey problems, identify. We're basically bypassing the whole political structure and saying that as a church, we're going to do this directly. We're going to find problems. We're going to try to create communication, and we're going to begin to try to, you know, de-escalate a lot of the sort of ways in which we're doing things. We're going to work on improving education for our kids so that we can help avoid, you know, prison time. And we're going to work on, you know, criminal justice reform from a more of a godly perspective. Anyway, quite a few more things we listed out, and I think it's encouraging ways of actually addressing more systemic things and helping to, you know, change the conversational environment.
I have to admit, as I said earlier in this program, I had not heard about this event. So it's important, I think, to help get the word out. So what would you like to say, you know, to anybody listening about Charlottesville, especially since most of them think of the big black eye from August 12th?
Yeah, well, first off, I want to understand that what happened in Charlottesville in itself was not representative of Charlottesville, but what happened on December 2nd, the healingforcharlottesville.com, that does represent Charlottesville. That was more of what's really happening, and we need to be able to, ourselves begin to lead the way in our communities so that the different forces that there's a cultural kind of war going out there. We have to be ready to respond, and not in the necessarily press conferences, but actually in the neighborhoods, in personal relationships, and that's the way to do it. So I encourage people to lead.
There's obviously a major wound, and it is not healing in our time. I've been surprised. I thought there was progress at some point, you know, in America's history towards overcoming racism, and instead, I think we're at least recently we're kind of going backwards, which is, I think, a great tragedy. I keep thinking that the ideal is what Martin Luther King Jr. said in the "I Have a Dream" speech, which is probably one of the 10 best speeches in American history, period. But the point that I look forward to the day when people will be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. So here's my leading question, and we have about 45 seconds for you to close the show out with this. Is Jesus Christ the answer to the racial divide in modern America?
Absolutely. I believe Jesus Christ is the answer. It has always been the answer throughout church history. The church has led the way to overcome those differences in societies and different nations. And then today, if the church gets involved, the solution will come. I do think also something else Martin Luther King said is true, is there is the scandal of inaction on the part of Christians. We have to get involved if we're going to see that healing come. So that's my call to the church. Let's lead. Let's do it again. And we can change the direction, I believe, of our country.
Excellent. Reverend Mark Belisles, president of America Transformation Company, also an author and pastor in Charlottesville. Healing 4, that is the number 4, healing4charlottesville.com for more information. Thank you, Mark, for being with us. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, Jerry. Thanks.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.